Welcome to Jaguars Thursday. Former Jaguars Jeff Loggeman and Tony Baselli bring you expert insight and analysis of your Jacksonville Jaguars. Now to get things started, here's the host of Jaguars Thursday, J.P. Shadrick.
From Jaguars Central at Everbank Field, Jaguars Thursday. J.P. Shadrick, Tony Baselli, Jeff Loggeman, phase two of the offseason program underway, and it is our draft recap show. We'll go through the draft picks.
You know what phase two for me is? This is the doldrums. For us, at least.
Right.
Nothing like exciting for
you. Well, wait a minute. I've got rookie minicamp coming up.
That's next week.
It's exciting.
To my point.
It's exciting.
It's the doldrums. Because even for me, at least, after the first day of OTAs, it's like, okay.
Yeah, no, I know. It's like, not in pads like, and everything.
What are we going to do?
Well, right now, it's not even teamwork. It's basically individual drills on the field and no helmets and no pads.
No, that's my point. It's the doldrums.
Around.
Until training camp, it's doldrums.
The interesting thing is, you know, we're reading kind of what the Jaguars and what they're doing. They're in phase two. And then there's other teams that have new head coaches that have already, you know, had voluntary mini camps. Mm-hmm. And we're reading about certain players that are not attending them or, you know, will they attend, the mystery and the anticipation. And, you know, so the league's calendar's rolling along. It's just gone so fast, you know, because the Jaguars were in the playoffs. And then, bam, the draft is like here all of a sudden. You're like, wow.
Oh, you lose a month of what would have been the off season.
Yes,
normally.
It's nice that way, though.
Yes,
right?
Just keep
it
up.
It's nice.
You know, the interesting thing is, as on Jaguars.com, if you're watching us, you can see that some of the video from them on the field doing individual stuff.
Mm-hmm.
As a player, like it's the doldrums of us, but I remember as a player, now we started much earlier. You started the third week of March.
It was about the third week of March.
And so that's when we started working out, and it was all voluntary, mandatory voluntary.
be there.
Yeah, be there. But as a player, it's like, all right, here we go again. And so it's like this, you just get in this thing. And so as soon as we started working out, you realize that 5 days a week for half a day, you're at the stadium. And then you go into OTAs, and then you go to mini camps, which we'd have two of them. And so there's a lot going on as a player. I mean, it's still not the intensity of the season, obviously. And it's funny now as we sit here on the radio, it's like, oh, it's the doldrums, nothing's going on. As a player, it's just the opposite.
It's a little bit of routine. Yeah,
they're in working and getting better, and guys are rehabbing and getting stronger and getting on the field. And so it's funny just the different perspectives. I mean, if we were to sit here with Doug and Tom and the coaching staff and Dave and say, oh, it's the doldrums right now, they look at us like, what are you talking about?
This is
like critical time right now. This is a
I'm gonna bring up
where we're getting ready to try to
be ready for camp.
Go further than we did last year.
I wish Tom was here to kind of share in this memory that I have, and Tony will remember this very well. When we had our voluntary day,
when you're getting yelled at to get your hand on the ground,
yeah. We had on our voluntary off season. This is going back to the early days, 95, yeah. 96.
Running gassers.
We had in our voluntary. Part of our voluntary day, we had assigned workout times.
Yep.
Okay, and so the big guys, which, you know, defensive line, offensive line, we had the early workout time, which was 6:30.
It was 6:30,
7 o'clock-ish.
Yeah, I was going to say we got here at 6:30 because we had breakfast and we either start lifting and warming up at 7 or 7:30. Yeah, I remember getting here at 6:30 to eat breakfast.
Yeah, in the 6 o'clock hour, you were here.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, sure.
And you're ready to sweat at 7 o'clock. And it was a leg day. And on leg days, we had kind of like calisthenics, kind of like form running type stuff.
Yeah.
You know, butt kicks, high knees, karaoke shuffle, and all that kind of stuff. And it's taxing. I mean, it's a warm up, but it's a workout.
Okay? For the big guys, especially.
Yeah. So you do that. And then we went in the weight room and with Jerry Palmieri.
Squats, cleans.
We did whole legs, squats, cleans, then I think maybe a little bit of back, you know, back lifting, you know. And then we had like 2.5 hours that we sat around and did nothing because we were the early workout time because we had a practice that day. So we sat around and did nothing for like 2 hours. Okay, then we went out on the practice
field. We
might
have some like individual meetings or something with our coaching.
No, because it was after practice.
Okay.
So we had 2 hours of doing nothing. And then we went out to practice. and we had our traditional one of the allowable OTA days, which was about two-hour practice.
Back then, you could do one-on-ones.
Oh yeah,
it was full speed.
Mm-hmm. It was a real practice.
It was full speed,
two-hour practice.
Full speed, no helmets.
Okay.
Like team,
this was a helmet practice.
No. Back then, but we didn't have helmets. Maybe this was a helmet practice. It was actually we had helmets on.
This was a helmet practice.
We do one-on-ones all off season.
Oh yeah. And so now we have a 2-hour practice, and at this particular time, Coughlin was steamed because there were some guys that weren't signing in for breakfast. So he decided to have gassers after this 2-hour practice. So let me remind him, kind of go back, okay? Get in the morning, calisthenics running, okay? Then we lift legs, yep. Then we sit around for 2 hours, then we have a 2-hour practice. Now we're going to do gassers. And we're not going to do, two or three as part of our, normal.
I think there were actually half gassers there and back. It was like 10 of them.
And it was 12.
It was something ridiculous.
Normally we do like 4.
Okay.
This day it was like 12. And I'll never forget that day. I'll never forget. And I'll never forget Steve Szabo, who was the linebacker.
Jeff, it was 95 because you had a harness on.
I had a harness on.
It was 95 because he had had shoulder surgery. And we didn't, and they wouldn't let us. Like, Jeff couldn't get time to get his harness off.
I can't breathe.
It's hard to breathe with a harness on.
It's like real tight around your chest.
It's an old school harness, which are
the
like
old
these
school
leather,
harness.
Vine, like
canvas. It's like heavy, military canvas.
If it was voluntary, why didn't you just walk off the field? And
well,
do the
I could have, but I'll never forget Steve Szabo looking at me, just going, because I would get in like a catcher's position to let this harness to kind of ride up above my chest to make it easier to breathe.
Stand up, Logger.
Stand up!
And
I won't use
the language that Jeff said back to him because it's not family friendly, suitable. But it might have been a four-letter word that...
Yeah. Steve Szabo didn't like me for a while.
That's pretty funny.
It was great, though.
Good stuff.
But, that used to be, an off-season OTA day. And now, we watch the footage, and these guys are out there where they're wearing ball caps, and, and some of them got the big brimmed, sun caps on. And it's different now. It's different, and it's good. I wish we had the tempo that is in the NFL now. In the off season, I think we all would have benefited from this type of off season.
I actually think so you look at the CBA collective bargaining agreement and how they've changed some of the rules of the off season. I think that it's been really good in some areas and awful for players.
No, I'm with you on that.
Like this stuff, like limiting what you can do on the field right now, it got ridiculous. Like there's no reason for my shoulders or Jeff's shoulders or our knees and anything else to be out there doing one-on-one pass pro in May. I mean, it's ridiculous.
What's going to stick to later in the year? I mean,
even
just
if
like,
it can stick, you can do.
They just don't do it against each other.
You can do that stuff without technique, but there's no reason to go full speed banging against each other.
Right.
You can even like walk through and work on hand placement, and there's drills you could do to simulate enough to get the work done. And so, limiting that stuff is great. Where they've missed it is limiting how much time guys can be here in interaction with coaches, especially for young guys and developmental players. And I think they've missed it on camp. As well. I mean, I'm fine. I think you should be able to have 2 days still as long as both practices aren't padded. And I also think that the way they did the practice in the during the season is ridiculous. You should have at least one padded practice throughout the season if you want to.
Yeah, through every week.
Every week.
Yeah, and it's just short of that. I mean, it's just a couple short.
There's just a little things like training camp. You look at it, and it would be great to do a study, and maybe they have. I would bet you anything the injuries have not decreased because of changing how camp is done. In fact, at least it feels like to me, soft tissue injuries are up because one of the things – I think the wear and tear stuff has to be less. But the one thing 2-a-days did – and I'm not saying there should be 2-a-days with padded practice. I'm not saying that. But the one thing it did do, it conditioned your body. Almost a hardening of it, like they calloused it. At some point,
you conditioned your mind. I can tell you that.
Yeah, and your mind. And so, there's some things they need to change. And I just think for the game of football to be better at the start of the season, they should allow 2-a-days as long as there's only one padded practice. Because I just think the game is sloppy at the beginning of the season, And it's because lack of time for preparation.
If you think it's sloppy, well, watch a rookie minicamp.
Oh, it's awful.
Which is coming up next weekend. I mean,
I won't be watching.
Yeah, the rookie minicamps
are closed
anyway.
Good.
Yeah,
I'm glad.
Are kind of
I like that
they're
closed
sloppy.
Those things because I feel guilty if they're open and I don't go. And when they're closed, I can't. It's perfect.
All right, let's get into the early part of this Jaguars draft here in 2018. Before we get to that, though, let's recap what happened in our mock draft and who won again this year. The only correct answer of the 32, Jair Alexander, the draft pick I made. What team was that, Joe?
Seattle
Seahawks, cornerback from Louisville.
That's
the
only
one we got
on,
right.
Let me ask you this.
The only one we
did you get
right.
The right slot?
Yeah. Yeah.
But didn't Seattle trade down and get him?
Well, no. I looked at the – they got him. I got it right.
But was
no,
up,
not
you,
the right.
Got it right.
To not slot.
Right. It's the only one. No, you guys didn't get any of them.
No, you didn't get it right.
None of them.
You're kind of begging because they got them, but they got them in a different slot.
Either way, my streak continues.
I got
with
you.
The victory.
The fact that none of us got any of the top five right.
Well, it's strange because
we didn't get anything right,
did
we?
We
didn't get any. We didn't get one pick right?
None.
That's amazing.
Zero. Taven Bryan is a big reason why, too. A lot of people had him going a little earlier. He was one of the players left on their list when the Jags picked at 29. He was the top player on the list.
He's good.
And what do you think of Bryan at number 29?
He's a guy that, talking to a lot of people, was an enigma early. Now he was behind some really good players. They've had some good defensive linemen there, so he didn't get a lot of time.
Yep.
And had almost zero production. I mean, it was, he's a redshirt. I mean, because he was a redshirt, so he sat out a year from Wyoming. And even at the beginning of this past year, wasn't super productive number wise. But then all the but as the season went on, in the last six games, he was dominant.
Yeah,
and
he's
a very explosive first step guy. And I talked to a coach from another team and doing some research. Because I didn't know a lot about him, Jeff. I don't know about you before the draft. And the individual I talked to from another team basically said, "Oh, no, he's like." Really good. Like there were a number of teams that had him pegged, and for whatever reason, whether they were later in the draft or other guys fell, but he was a guy that I think people feel like his ceiling is so high because of the athletic freakish ability he has. And the question is, will the production meet the ability and the potential and the freakish athletic ability the kid has.
Yeah, it was. I didn't watch any film on him prior to the draft. I mean, I didn't because I was like, why?
Why would they go there?
I mean, I didn't think the Jaguars would go there. But I mean, give him credit. And I mean, watching the film, I watched him Monday. I came in and watched film on him. He's pretty unique in that. He's a three technique, a true three technique. So at Florida, so he would play. On the outside shoulder of the guard, whether it be on the left side or the right side. When he was on the left side, he was in a natural right-handed stance. When he was on the right side, he was in a natural left-handed stance. So you could see that it was comfortable on either side. He rushed just as effectively from one side as he did the other. And everybody's talking about this great first step. And he does have a very good first step, but I want to kind of explain what the difference is between a great first step and great snap, like, step anticipation.
Right.
He gains a tremendous amount of ground in his first two steps, kind of like Howie Long. Howie Long used to gain great ground. But his snap anticipation could be even better. It's not like he's great on getting off and then he's got this first step, he's past the guard.
And that's critical because
before he's out of the stance.
So because some guys, and to Jeff's point, it's really well said, is that sometimes, you'll see a guy in college who just can anticipate. Like Chris Smith was a guy like that. Mm-hmm. Who used to have, he would anticipate, and he looked so quick, and he was great at anticipating the snap count, so he'd get up and get penetration. But then when you all of a sudden you get in the NFL and they change the snap count and different things.
And he doesn't have that.
He doesn't have – you can't anticipate as much. The natural step's not there.
Then he doesn't look as quick.
And so this – Bryan has a naturally quick – Even if he's not guessing or jumping the snap count, he's gaining
a lot of ground.
Penetration.
He's got a very strong rip. He's got to learn to counter off of that a little bit. I think the one thing about him is he does get great penetration. He's very strong. He's got great hands. In the running game, he never stays blocked. I mean, he's one of those guys who makes contact, and he's extension, and then he gets rid of him in a hurry. I mean, that's very unique. I mean, I think the one guy that came into the to the Jaguars as a rookie that had great hands was Tyson Alualu. And I remember talking to Brad Meester, and he's like, "Oh my God, this guy's got hands like a 10-year pro." And Taven Bryan's got great hands. The one thing I will say, if there was a negative on him, the number of plays that he made, you know, from the middle part of the season towards the end, he could have made twice as many. I mean, he's got to finish better. He's got to bring his feet. You know, he's got to keep going. I mean, there's a lot of plays that he left on the table that he just didn't get because he didn't finish for some reason. And if he finishes those, I mean, he's truly a dominant special player. And if he made those plays, he would have been in the top 10 in the draft probably.
Well, if he made plays like that.
I'm
glad he didn't. Yeah. And I think, Jeff, he can play the three technique here, but I think he can play the big end as well.
Absolutely.
He can play Clay's place.
But people are wondering, you know, where could he play? He can, first of all, he can play anywhere on the defensive line that you put him at. His best position will be three technique. And then his second best position for this team is backup strong side end. You know, because last year Smoot was doing that. Mm-hmm. And Smoot's kind of like a tweener. He's not truly a strong side end, and he's not truly, you know, a weak side end behind Fowler and Ngakoue. You know, he's kind of caught between the two. But this kid, Taven Bryan, I mean, he's a strong side end and a three technique all day long. And now Marcell Dareus, nose tackle.
Yeah, and the hope is that in a year or two when you have to start sending some of these veteran guys out because of salary cap issues, maybe he'll be ready to roll in a starting capacity.
I think the better way to put it is when these, you know, these veteran guys, okay, are moving on to the next phase, which is, you know, a lower pay scale or having to go to another team mm-hmm. because their level of play doesn't match their contract. Mm-hmm. He's the guy to be there.
There you go. We'll come back. We'll get into the rest of the draft picks for the Jags. Chark, Harrison, and Tony Baselli's breakdown of Richardson in the fourth round.
Let me just give you a little teaser.
Yes.
Love the pick.
Love it.
Love the pick. As you and I were texting that day.
We were talking about it.
I was telling you something I did not like that was bouncing around as well.
True. We might avoid that one. Check out Jack Hanania's Audi Jacksonville and Blanding. You can lease a beautiful new A3 from just $229 a month. Head over today for details. We're off and running. It's Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
You know, you go into the draft with priorities. You have an idea as to how it'll go. It's much different drafting at the bottom, which we like. I'd like to move a few places down for next year, but it's much different than drafting at the top. I think that for me, one of the toughest parts today was the bottom of the fourth to the bottom of the sixth before we had another pick. So that's a tough road to sit there and watch all those players come off the board. But, you know, I think the draft solved a majority of the problems or priorities that we had going in. Of course, you don't get them all done. So, but we like the package that we have. Come on in here, guys, and let's compete like heck, and let's make our team better.
Tom Coughlin, Executive Vice President of Football Operations with Ashland Sullivan of Jaguars.com, right after the draft concluded Saturday evening. Jaguars Thursday continues here. JP Shadrick, Jeff Loggeman, Tony Baselli. Let's get to the second, third, fourth round picks. DJ Chark out of LSU was roommates with Leonard Fournette as a freshman in Baton Rouge. His off-the-field story, his family story is very interesting if you'll read the Baton Rouge Advocate article from about a year ago or so.
Well, give us the Cliff Notes
version. The family's had some medical issues away from football. His mother, I think, is part of that. So. And the way the family's kind of recovered and fought through some things there.
Good.
So check it out. And big guy, so at 6'2", ran a 4.34 40 at the combine. The guy can fly, DJ Chark.
Yeah, he runs, and he runs well. I think it'll be interesting to see how that speed kind of translates when he starts to see a little bit of press coverage, you know, at this level, the NFL level. But there's no questioning his speed. He can run and double moves. He ran a lot of double moves at LSU. And that was one of the reasons why a lot of times he was so open deep. But when he didn't have the double move, you can see that he's clearly pulling away from guys. And a huge deep threat. I saw that general manager Dave Caldwell made the statement that, you know, speed like that could pull safeties, you know, out of the box, you know, stopping the run. And that's not true. I disagree with Dave
okay.
on that because and first of all, the quarterback and the wide receiver have to be a legitimate threat for the defense to say, okay, it warrants taking a safety mm-hmm. out of the box because we're worried about the deep, you know, speed and passing game of DJ Chark. So that has to happen first, okay, before, you know, just because he has 4.3 speed doesn't mean a safety is going to stay out of the box.
Yeah.
You know, you have to have success throwing the deep ball to him yeah. to warrant the safety to be double covered.
I mean, that's what we've heard lately about Marquise Lee, right? He's fast enough to go deep and get guys out of there, but that really wasn't the case even with Marquise.
Well, and it's interesting because, you know, Chark is I don't want to say he's a one-trick pony, but that's his strength is the deep ball. He can run the underneath routes, and he's, you know, he's got decent hands and got great body control. The is he electric when he catches the ball, you know, after that?
Mm-hmm.
No. You know, he's just kind of okay. I mean, what makes him great is the deep ball speed that he's got. That's what makes him special.
Yeah, I think 43% of his catches last year were 20 yards or more down the field. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, to Jeff's point, I mean, speed, I mean, helps stretch a defense. But what gets the safety out of the box is actually – get a complete, I mean, it's an effective passing
execution
mm-hmm. of it. And I think you saw that improve for this offense throughout the year. And if it continues to go that way, that's why they'll get more favorable looks as far as in the run game, a more favorable run box, and not having eight guys against their base personnel or seven against the 11 personnel, which,
you know,
is their wide receivers.
The one thing that I really look forward to, because you know what, when Tony and JP, I mean, we all saw this. When Blake Bortles first took over as the quarterback, what was the thing that we saw that made us go, you know what, that's beautiful? It was, and we use this term, to throw the ball into a bucket, to where he would have that deep ball pass, and it would just fall right into the bucket or the arms of the wide receiver on target. That's what I thought he did best when he was first starting out as the starter. And then somewhere along the way
– It got better this year.
It did. It got better this past year. But I just wonder, you know, the surgery that he had, how much did that affect his ability to make throws like that? And if he can get back to making throws like that with Keelan Cole and now DJ Chark, I mean, two guys that run, I mean – down the field like nobody's business.
Well, Westbrook isn't slow.
And Didi underneath, which is his strength, because, I mean, he's electric after the catch.
And Marquise.
And Marquise, because he's like Didi. I mean, underneath stuff, that's going to be fun to watch.
Ronnie Harrison, safety, Alabama.
You tell us. He's your guy. Did you make that pick?
I did. I phoned it in. I went in the draft room. I told, hey, Mr. Khan, excuse me just a moment. Let me borrow these guys. And I told Tom what to do.
You did?
That's exactly how it
scouting
went down.
So what is – give us the scouting.
So
give us the breakdown.
More of a strong
Ronnie.
Than a free. Plays close to the line a lot. They used him in the blitzing game a lot at Alabama. When he was in coverage, some of his interceptions are like tip drill, kind of right place, right time. But you still have to be in the right place at the right time. So – high football IQ guy, which at Alabama, if you're a defensive back, Nick Saban doesn't put dumb defensive backs on the field.
What you said right there is from watching the film on him Monday is very true. When you say football IQ guy, you can really tell that he anticipates, he's aware, he's a captain in the backfield. Mm-hmm. I mean, that is his strength.
Yep. So that's a big part of his game is being in the right place and having other guys in the right place around him too.
Yeah. Coverage is a little bit of an issue. I mean, you're not going to put him out on the receiver.
Not on a wide receiver.
But here's the thing. Barry Church struggles with that too.
Yeah.
I mean, so it's not – I mean, a lot of strong safeties, you know, struggle if you get them out in space one-on-one and they get the matchup they want on a wide receiver. I mean, that's why they're a strong safety.
Yeah, I like him as a player in that spot with this team. I probably would have went tight end. There was one that was available from Indiana, and I think there was another one from Miami at that time that were pretty decent grades on them.
Where did your guy who you loved and you would not stop talking
Philadelphia.
About the whole time, Dallas, the South Dakota State
Dallas
guy.
Goedert.
Yeah, Goedert.
Goddard
I mean,
is golly. His name.
I mean, I was so tired of
the Eagles
of that
got him, man. Joe's happy. Yeah, I'm telling you,
the
wait,
Eagles are
wait till you watch him
year.
Play now. I mean, I will say, though, of all the teams to go to if you're a tight end, that's the team you want to go to. Are those RPOs to the tight end that they run in Philadelphia?
I saw them last year. That's what they did.
I mean, that's the tight ends is huge in that
I'd want to come here if I was a tight end.
Well, yeah, I mean.
You want to know why? Win Super Bowl.
About the jewelry. I like it.
Well, they can't do that in Philly. I think they just
not
won.
Anymore.
I think
they did. They're done.
It's over now. It's going to end in London next year.
Yeah, they mailed it in. We're going to dominate. They get to come to London. They don't want any piece of that.
You don't come into Wembley Stadium.
And by the way, it's our Wembley Stadium
on its way to
be. No, I don't believe it's in reality. I don't believe plural. I don't believe our. I think
it's ours. It's ours. We're all big family, aren't we? Aren't we the Jaguar family?
There's still a process to get to that point.
Jaguar family.
Final thought here before we
family owned it. It's like, you know, like your parents have like a house, beach house, you go visit,
we,
you go hang out.
It's ours. Yeah.
It's our like place. Our place. Like,
yeah.
Is
that
means
how it is?
It means I can't fly to London and say, hey, this is my stadium, kind of go hang out anytime.
No.
Like if a concert's there, say, hey.
The Beyonce concert. You're in, right?
This is the Jaguar Perfect. Stadium. I'd like to come in and see my stadium now. Doesn't work that way, Jeff?
No.
Not exactly. Hey, we'll come back and get into the fourth through the seventh round picks for the Jaguars, including Will Richardson, PRI Productions. The official event production company of the Jags has
hey, why
everything.
Did you wait? Why are you waiting so long for the offensive lineman? That's offensive.
It's
to
a
me.
Double tease.
Well,
a double
I'm
tease.
Offended that we have
We're
to
trying
wait
to keep people around.
I'm offended that we have to wait through the third segment.
Analysis
the offensive lineman should have been the first segment.
Is so important to this broadcast tonight.
Not sure. Good call.
That we're going to push it back.
Sorry to mean to interrupt you, Reed, whoever that sponsor.
It was PRI Productions.
Thank you, PRI.
The official event production company of the Jags. They have everything you need to bring your next idea to life. Visit PRIProductions.com. It's Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
Anytime you kind of get that break, and you know what I'm saying it's good to get your body a rest and you know just kind of get away from the game and you know kind of get with family and vacation a little bit. But after a while, you know, this is what we do. So I mean, this is our job. So you start to miss it. And so, you know, I think it's always fun when you first get back and just getting back with all the guys and, you know, just seeing your coaches again.
Cam Robinson, the left tackle for the Jacksonville Jaguars earlier today on the brand new J.P. Shadrick podcast. Check it out, Jaguars.com and the iTunes. Why are you
Very
laughing,
self-promoting
Tony?
There.
Yeah, so
embarrassing.
Pretty good bite. He says he gets bored when he's not at the stadium. He's wired a little differently. It's good.
No, I'm talking about you self-promoting your stupid podcast.
Yeah, so? You don't want to listen to it? It's Cam Robinson. It's a left tackle. It's an offensive lineman. I'm trying to give an old lineman some love here, Tom.
I'll just talk to him one-on-one. I don't need to listen to your dumb questions.
Great.
How do you come up with your questions for that? What was your
process? It's a conversation.
Oh, just conversation.
Yeah, it's a big off-season for him. You know, he's got to get a little bigger in the weight room. He said that. Interested to see what he's been doing, you know?
Mm.
Yeah, so check it out. Or not. I don't really care. Listen to it.
I listened
to
it.
Who cares? Thank you.
I did.
You did not listen to that.
I did, too.
You were so.
He said.
I did, too. I was right in that chair right there.
That's when it happened.
Okay, you were forced to listen to it.
You were strapped down like the shoulder right there.
I happened to
be. No, I'm joking.
I was coming here to watch film.
I should.
You should.
Joke.
It got a little embarrassing, though, the Alabama thing.
Yeah, it usually
the
does.
Love and, you know, affection. And
no, but JP, in all seriousness, I give JP a hard time. He does a good job with this podcast.
That was
it is a good listen, even though it's embarrassing when it's a Alabama guy. But it's a good stuff.
It's kind of
that's on the website, right?
Yeah, it's on the website, on iTunes, the whole thing, Jaguars Radio, all that. Let's touch on some of the undrafted free agents.
I'll make sure I check in that one out.
I'm sure you will.
I will.
Tony.
I love your stuff.
Know.
I love your stuff. You're telling
who,
me I don't,
who are you
he's
right
like,
now?
He's like
you're
Rich Eisen.
You're totally. Telling me I don't listen when you send me something. Do I listen and give you feedback?
No.
Really?
What have you asked for anything? I don't send you anything.
Really? You've
you're
never sent me anything.
Things up for radio. Right
really?
Now.
You never sent me anything. You want me to get into details about your play-by-play?
Can we get back to the undrafted?
No. Do I want to get the details?
What was that? That was a one time.
No.
You said all the time.
Multiple times.
Multiple. Get the hell out of here. Let's get to the undrafted free agents.
Why are you red? You're embarrassed?
I'm not red at all.
Yeah, you are. Suntan?
That's just the suntan.
Sunburn?
It's the sunburn. The top's down on the Jeep right now. Some highlights from the undrafted free agents. Mm. You know, the Jags have drawn from this pool over the last few years. Ryan Davis, a guy, of course, last year with Keelan Cole, just to name a couple of guys. There are two players on the 13 that have signed that were in Mike Mayock's top 100 prospects entering the draft, including the Iowa State wide receiver Allen Lazard, who had a pretty good career.
Why did he drop out? If he was top 100.
I mean, look, that's Mayock's list.
I know, but Mayock's pretty good.
You know, he's all-time leading receiver, I think, at Iowa State. He's got incredible measurables when it comes to height, weight. Yep. You know, okay speed, you know, mid 4.5s. But, I mean, for a big guy, that's pretty good. It's going to be.
Do we know why he dropped? Is there any rumors?
I don't know. He's a team captain. He's got, what, legacy there at Ohio State?
Yeah, like his
Iowa State.
Father played there.
I mean, there's no issues there. There's not like any personal issues dropped or anything like that. But he's, you know, here's the deal. And I was telling JP this, and we were talking about this. If you're a big wide receiver, can play special teams, you've got a chance to make it. And he's got the size to be able to make an impact on special teams.
Who's the guy you were all excited about before we went to break?
Jackson.
Darius Jackson.
Darius Jackson.
From Jacksonville State in Alabama.
We're number 40 at Jacksonville State in Alabama. I'm going to tell you, Tony, this guy can play.
Linebacker?
Yeah, he can play. Stand up, outside linebacker, rusher, super athletic. Dominated at that level of play. I don't know what he runs the 40 time in, but he plays fast. I'm not trying to say that he is of this level, but you know, there's certain traits like the way a guy runs. You might remind you of somebody,
right?
The way he ran and the way he was moving on this one particular pass rush move. I was telling JP and Justin, who does this remind you of? And it reminded me of Derek Thomas, the way he kind of moved and had that, you know, the neck brace on and the kind of the side-to-side little shake that he had. And I'm not saying he's Derek Thomas. Don't anybody
That's what I heard, JP.
But, he's going to Canton.
I can't wait to see him. I think he's going to be a guy that they probably play at linebacker just because he's, you know, 6'2", 240. And then could maybe give them some edge rush ability. I mean, what was he, the two-time – conference defensive player of the year there.
Mm-hmm.
Guy can play.
Went to the, side note, went to the same high school as Bo Jackson, McAdory High School in Bessemer.
Yeah.
So who's the other top 100 player? The kid from Iowa State?
The Stanford corner, Quentin Meeks.
Yeah, and he left early. Son of Ron Meeks, defensive coach, Colts. You know, also went to high school here, grew up here in Jacksonville.
Yep.
He declared, went early. In my opinion, he made a mistake. I watched his film. The free agent corner that they got from Vanderbilt's better than him. I don't see him as being a top 100 player.
Let's go around the National Football League. Quick hitters here with a couple minutes to go. Matt Ryan, 5 years, $150 million deal, $30 million a year, $100 million guaranteed. And Aaron Rodgers might beat him next.
Good to be a quarterback right now.
Mm.
I have nothing else to say.
I used to play quarterback.
Oh, really?
I did. I should have played. I should have kept on playing.
$100 million fully guaranteed?
Yes.
For everything, no matter what?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
That's amazing. A lot of money.
Kickoffs could have a different feel this year. The proposal includes the following: no running start or pre-kick motion by cover teams, and no wedge blocks by return teams. There's a 15-yard non-contact zone from the spot of the kick. The return team's required to have a minimum of 8 players lined up 15 yards from the ball. The final draft of that is coming up this week. Vote later.
All they're trying to do is make kickoffs much like punt.
Punt.
You know, where you don't have the high-speed collisions, and I'm all for it.
Yeah, and it's really not for the kick returner. It's everybody else on the field on kick returns.
Yeah, that's right.
That's where those collisions
and also happen. On another note here.
If you do that way, though, you're going to have a lot of returns.
True.
That's I think it's going to be exciting.
Yeah. Idea.
Make it better.
Also,
let me drop this in on your Around the League. Congratulations to Jason Witten.
Yes.
For getting the Monday night gig and moving on to the next step in his life. Yeah. Awesome stuff.
After 15 seasons, Jason Witten is
I'm going to tell you now, great football player, turned the film on, does everything the right way, and he's been an excellent player for a long time. I got a lot of respect for the way he's played the game.
Good player.
More broadcast news. Bruce Arians joining Greg Gumbel and Trent Green in the CBS booth this season.
He'll be good, I think. He'll bring some interesting color to it.
I think, especially if he has a few drinks before he gets in the booth.
Come on now. Nobody does that anymore.
That's not professional.
Anymore. It used to happen.
JP used to do it.
It used to happen. Yeah, I'm not saying with us.
JP on Alabama radio would have a few bourbons and go out there.
There was a broadcaster NFL player back in the day that used to have a few.
Keep talking.
I'm not
just throwing it out there.
I can tell you one thing on the production meetings that I used to have with him. He was toasty.
That'll do it for our program tonight. Max Hockman on Jaguars.com.
Fortunato. I did have a beer with him. Multiple times.
Yeah. Really? Yeah. That's shocking.
Tony Vaselli. We used to have beer and snack night before game.
Jeff Flagman. I'm JP Shadrick. See you next week. Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio. Sober!